Good afternoon. Good noon. I was just sitting there relaxing and talking to some folks, and my Apple Watch, trusty Apple Watch, said, it's time to stand. So it reminded me to come speak. Let me pray for us real quick. If you're chewing, keep chewing. God will hear us whatever we're doing. Heavenly Father, thank you for McKeska's barbecue. Thank you for all the food and drinks that you provide for us. Thank you for life, abundant life on earth, and eternal life in heaven for those of us who have trusted in you. I pray that your spirit will speak through me and speak through your word today, as you always do, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thanks for being here today in the heat of summer in Houston at High Point Bible Study. Today, I want us to be thinking about the word justify or justification. When you're in your offices, when we think about justify, a lot of us have to fill out expense reports, including myself. Who fills out expense reports? Anybody here have to approve expense reports? And then maybe you're in accounts payable, so you're the ones that approve the expense reports. And in those expense requests, we all have to justify our business expenses, right? Another place where we've seen the word justified is Justin Timberlake's very first album called Justified. You may have also seen a TV show about a U.S. Marshal who uses old Wild West tactics in modern-day Miami called Justified. And another word for justified is validation. We all need to be validated. Psychologists tell us that for every one criticism you give to a friend or a spouse or a family member, we need to give them 8 words of encouragement, 8 affirmations, just to balance that, balance out that one criticism. You probably heard in your professional training that if you sit someone down who reports to you and you really want to criticize them for their work, you've got to have the sandwich method, right? Start with one piece of bread of saying something nice, something positive, affirming to them, and then give them that you could work on this thing, and then end it with something else really positive. But I see a bright hope in future for you if you do this in our company, right? And I was not able to find parking on the streets today, so I had to park in this garage, which is a maze. And we used to have Sunday worship here, so I'm used to the garage, but we also gave validation stickers so that people can park for free, and today I have to pay for it. I want to show you a video about using that validation ticket.
I'm here to get validated.
You are awesome.
Excuse me?
You have an amazing face. You've got powerful features, man. Anyone ever tell you that?
No.
And listen, you look a little down. And it may seem like sometimes people don't understand you. But someday, man, someday, people are gonna see you for what you really are.
You really think so?
Absolutely. You are great.
Need a validation, please?
You are great, ma'am. You have amazing cheekbones.
Really?
Good sir. Yes. We have a situation.
Where?
Oh my God.
What the hell's going on?
You've been through it. You know. You've had so much life experience that other people don't appreciate, but you know.
Bless you, dear.
They're not patronizing the shops. They're just coming to see him.
Oh, sir. Getting great shape.
You work out?
Not for long.
I do, actually. A bit. Yeah, thanks.
Young man, we are running a business here, not a social club.
That is a fantastic suit. It really flatters you.
You think so?
You guys work so hard. You are the backbone that keeps this place running.
It always felt like no one really appreciated us.
Yeah, I mean, our jobs are so stressful, and it seems like most of the times people just don't see it.
No, what you do is so important.
You know, I bet the boss would love to meet you.
You are great. Whoa! You provide hundreds of jobs, sustaining hundreds of families. That's huge.
That's so good to hear. Most times I feel like people don't recognize that. I'm just the big bad man on the hill.
Not at all. You give.
All right. As downtown Houston is growing, we all need to hire that guy in our parking garages, right? To fill those up. Well, what does the scripture say about validating our life, our abundant life, that needs to be justified? Is it justified by the works that we do, justified by the heritage that we are, whatever that means, racially or ethnically or national origin or socioeconomic income, and also what justifies our right to have an eternal life with God in heaven? So let's look in the scriptures to find that out. Romans chapter 3 is where we're in, and you have your scriptures on your sheets. You can certainly also use your mobile devices or analog Bibles. Romans 3, I'm going to read 19 to 23 first. Now we know that whatever the law says speaks to those who are subject to the law, so that every mouth may be shut and the whole world may become subject to God's judgment. For no flesh will be justified in his sight by the works of the law. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But now, apart from the law, God's righteousness has been revealed, attested by the law and the prophets, that is, God's righteousness through faith in Jesus Christ, to all who believe, since there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I'll continue through verse 31. They are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 25, God presented him as a propitiation through faith in his blood to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his restraint, God passed over the sins previously committed. God presented him to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so that he would be righteous and declare righteous the one who has faith in Jesus. Verse 27, where then is boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By one of works? No, on the contrary, by a law of faith. For we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Or is God for Jews only? Is he not also for Gentiles? Yes, for Gentiles too, since there is one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Do we then cancel the law through faith? Absolutely not. On the contrary, we uphold the law. So, briefly, I'll give you 4 points about the validation of Jesus, the justification that Jesus gives us to have an abundant life, to live an abundant life on earth and eternal life with God in heaven. First, justification plays no favorites. Justification plays no favorites. The King James Version renders it that he is no respecter of persons. He is no respecter of persons. So, does favoritism exist in our world? Yes, of course. The only ones that say it doesn't exist are the ones getting it. We have a photo of a poster with some birds. The only ones who think favoritism doesn't exist are the ones getting it. In the original Greek, the word right, righteous, righteousness, just, and justify all come from one root, dikaios. And in this passage, we see that everywhere. Verse 26, he would declare righteous That comes from that same Greek word, the one who has faith in Jesus. In verses 21 to 22, we see the word righteousness twice. But now, apart from God's law, God's righteousness has been revealed, attested by the law and the prophets. That is, God's righteousness through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believes, since there is no distinction. So, justification plays no favorites. It is not a respecter of persons. It is not prejudiced or discriminatory at all. And also verse 20 says, no flesh will be justified. That's that same Greek root again, dikaios, in his sight by the works of the law. So have you ever tried to justify an action or a decision you made or just an accident, and you just keep talking and talking and kind of digging yourself in a hole? Or you're on the other side, you're listening, and someone else is trying to embellish stories and making up things or giving you details of true facts, and you just want to say, stop it, be quiet, shut up. And that's what the scripture is saying here. We come up with all these things to justify our right to a full life. And the Bible says in verse 19, we all know that whatever the law says speaks to those who are subject to the law, so that every mouth may be shut. If you read the NIV, it says silenced. The King James Version says stopped. The Contemporary English Version says the law says these things to stop anyone from making excuses. Well, I have recently committed an act that I did not have a very good excuse for at all. And I was supposed to speak at a graduation ceremony. Good thing was it wasn't for a big university or anything, but it was for a very special ministry to our church and to me personally. It's the Work Faith Connection. You may have heard of it. Work Faith Connection, it's in the Museum District. They train those who are out of work, those who are homeless, those who have just come out of prison, how to find a job in a Christ-based way. It's a very intense curriculum, and I was privileged to be asked to be their graduation speaker on Friday afternoon. Well, that Friday, Fridays are usually my days off, and I was too legalistic that day. I didn't want to look at any screen whatsoever, and I totally forgot. Where was I? When they called, I was here. If you can show the pool. There it is. I was lounging in one of those places, and they could not even find me. But they called me, they forgave me, they worked it out with the graduation, and they even invited me back. Work Faith Connection, because they know me so well, and because they are discriminatory, they play favorites on me. But God plays no favorites. There is no favoritism with God. Secondly, justification is by God's grace alone through faith in Jesus. God's grace alone. Grace means unmerited favor. Favor from God that we do not deserve. Somebody put it as God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace. Unmerited favor from God. Verses 24 to 26 says, they are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. God presented him as a propitiation through faith in his blood to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his restraint God passed over the sins previously committed. He presented him to demonstrate his righteousness at the right time, so that he would be righteous and declare righteous the one who has faith in Jesus. So many uses of that word righteous and justify from that one Greek root. Propitiation there, that word that's found in a lot of your Bible versions, it comes from the Latin two words, pro and petere, meaning to render favorable. So Jesus' death on the cross is the propitiation for our sins. Us receiving into our hearts and trusting on what Christ has done on the cross renders us favor with God the Father through Jesus Christ. Other versions of the Bible interpret this or translate this word propitiation as atoning sacrifice. And that word atoning also means that which reconciles us to God the Father through Jesus Christ. In fact, the word atone comes from the two words at one. When we are sinful, we are separated from God. And Jesus, on the cross, by his grace, through faith in him, makes us at one with God the Father, only through Jesus Christ. And that's the way we are justified. So grace is a free gift. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of ourselves, it is the work, the gift of God, so that no one can boast, no one can brag about." Now say, recently I went car shopping with a friend who wanted to buy me a car, theoretically. We were here at this shop. If we can put that slide up. It's a Lamborghini shop. My friend Cody asked me, blue or black? What would you choose? I chose the black. Theoretically, if he bought me the car. And I said, wow, what a generous gift, Cody. Let me pull out my very little wallet and look through my very little cash and give you a $20, a $20 bill to pay for that car. What would that car be no longer? A gift, right? And he probably would have taken that as an insult. He wanted to generously give me that car. I still hope and pray he does. But that car would no longer be a gift. And just like that car, theoretically, eternal life from God is, the scripture says, it's a gift. A gift is freely given and freely received. We can't do anything to earn God's favor. Number three, justification nullifies our bragging rights. Justification nullifies our bragging rights. It renders our bragging rights void, even here in Texas, where we love to brag. Verses 27 to 28, where then is boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By one of works? No, on the contrary, by a law of faith. For we conclude that a man or a woman is justified by faith apart from works of the law. And I want to dig a little deeper theologically, if you'll indulge us. There is an apparent contradiction with another part of the scriptures. It's an apparent contradiction. With James chapter 2, verses 24 to 26, which says, "You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, wasn't Rahab the prostitute also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by a different route? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead." So apparently there is a contradiction. In our scripture passage that we're studying, Romans 3, it says we are justified by faith alone. Why does James say we're justified by works? D. James Kennedy, who is the late founder of Evangelism Explosion and Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church, explains it this way. He says, James is dealing with people who profess to be Christians, and yet they don't evidence the reality of their faith by their works or deeds. Over and over again, people will say they have faith, and they don't have works. And James is saying that real faith always produces works as a result. So the question is, a man may say that he has faith, but will that faith justify him? If it is just a said faith, no, it won't. So yes, it is only faith that justifies our abundant life and eternal life theologically, but it's always demonstrated. For the believer, it's always demonstrated by works. It's demonstrated by an attitude of love, love for God and love for people and good works. Romans 12:3 says, "For by the grace given me, I tell everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he should think. Instead, think sensibly as God has distributed a measure of faith to each one." So we didn't have faith to begin with. Faith is a gift from God. He's given us a measure of faith to each person to be able to have faith in Jesus. Justification is not just pardon, nor is it morality. Justification is not just being pardoned for our sins. It's taking on the righteousness of Christ. It's not just having an excuse or having a way out of our sins, but it's also taking on the good works, the good nature, the good disposition of Jesus Christ. So Christianity is not merely morality. Being a Jesus follower is not following the righteousness of Christ. It is rather, by faith, taking on the righteousness of Christ by His grace. Every other religion is about our own morality or their own morality. In Christianity, we take on the morality of Jesus Christ, the righteousness, that Greek word, dikaios. So to atone for our sins, in every other religion, it's all about appeasing their God. In my opinion, to be the false God, out of fear. In Christianity, we've already appeased the one true God through Jesus Christ and what He's done on the cross. And our lives are lived in order to please Him, not to appease Him out of fear, but to please Him out of joy. And this leads me to declare, number four, that justification motivates us to do good works. Because we are justified by Christ, because we already have abundant life, the right to abundant life on earth, a full life on earth, and the right to eternal life in heaven with God, that motivates us, drives us, fuels us to live a life of good works. Verse 31, do we then cancel the law through faith? Absolutely not. On the contrary, we uphold the law. If you like the King James Version, it says it like this. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yay, we establish the law. The former dean of Princeton Seminary says that good works is a PS to salvation, to the letter of salvation to God. So there's no guilt trip here, but we do good works out of gratitude, but for what Christ has already done for us on the cross. A couple of questions for our reflection as we close with this message. What are you living for? Are you living to appease God out of fear? Are you living for the success? Are you living for just morality? Or are you living a life out of gratitude for the justification, the validation that has already happened through Christ for your life and my life? And secondly, knowing that we are justified, what intentional good works are we doing for our families, for our coworkers, for our companies, for our community? So let's go forth, Jesus followers, and do good works. If you came with a friend from your company and they're a follower of Jesus, expect them to bless you today. Expect them to do good works for you today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us this brilliant plan, and you've acted on this, you've executed this brilliant plan to justify our lives, the right to live our lives, and the right to have eternal life with God in heaven through your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, if we have doubts, if we're struggling with our faith, to believe in this truth. Help us, Lord, if we are walking with you, to live this out by expressions of love towards you and love towards others, because we are justified by Jesus Christ alone. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thanks for your attention today. Have a great day.